Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. The name above all names, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your will and your way in the service, Lord. Encounter us today, Lord, where we're at. Bid us to come up higher, Lord. Help us to be changed by the power of your word, that we might bring you more glory, Lord. Not ourselves, but you. Speak through my lips right now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him. And as Peter writes in 1 Peter, and you'll find with all of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, this message keeps circling back around to the same things over and over again. It's like he's trying to beat it into your hearts. He's trying to imprint it on your hearts, that it goes deep. That it goes deep and it takes deep root like that tree by the waters. Not like the other seeds that go by the wayside, and not by the ones that don't take root, and the thorns and the thistles, you choke it out. Or when the trials come and the seed has not enough there and the fiery sun just kills the seed and the roots because it's not deep enough. It's scorched. Look at your grass. Some of you have yards. How many of you have brown spots on your grass? Some of those don't have deep enough roots, and so it gets burned. It hasn't gone deep enough yet, but there's other patches that are green. They're sheltered. They have deep roots from the heat. And so Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to what? A living hope. By your own means? No. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because you have that living hope, you've been now to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Steve, there is an inheritance with your name on it, and it's reserved just for Steve Truss. And it's reserved for each and every one of you who put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so, because you are kept, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, here on this earth, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You all raised your hand earlier. You all raised your hand earlier that you're going through something right now. And guess what? It's going to continue as you go through this life. That the genuineness of your faith. Say, my faith is genuine. Say it.
Faith is genuine.
Being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Isn't that awesome? Peter says that. He was like there too when Thomas had a touch. And Jesus was like, you touch me, but those who don't see, those coming ahead who won't see and won't be able to touch, they are blessed. That's us. He's talking about us in that scripture. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And of this, the salvation of the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. The Old Testament prophets, they would talk about the grace that was coming, but they could not fully fathom. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Thank God someone listened to the Holy Spirit and shared the gospel to you.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yes.
Someone cared enough to go out of their way, right? Because it's hard. It is hard to get to that point. Get over the fear of sharing. I don't know if it's fear of rejection or whatever it is. But someone was bold enough to say, hey, you know what? You need to hear this. You need to hear the love that I received. Now let me share it with you. Let me share Jesus with you. Someone went out of their way to do that for you. Therefore, because you have all of this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, right? Self-controlled. How many had to exert self-control this week? Oh yeah. I was thinking about that scripture all week. You know what? And when you did it, there was a victory right there. The angels rejoiced. The angels rejoiced. You had victory over something. If you yielded to it, hopefully you repented. You know, the more you stand on the word and the more you exert that self-control, the more that thorn becomes less and less, right? That temptation becomes less and less because you're exerting not your own authority over it, you're exerting the authority of God over it, the authority of His Word. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You set our eyes are fixed upon that, His return. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts, as in your ignorance, right? Setting yourself away from the previous lust, the lust of the world. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And here we go. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I don't have a super long message today, but we're going to focus on that passage right there. You see, after Peter calls the believer to be holy, he tells us why you must be holy. He gives us the motivation to keep on pushing through in the actual pursuit of holiness, right? Remember, holiness is an action, and it's a pursuit. You're going to be pursuing it. Just like sanctification is an ongoing process. Until you are glorified, you are in the constant process of sanctification. Okay? So we often, as humans, need motivation, right? We need motivation to stay focused, stay on target. You see, when Jeffrey was just born, and also Caitlin, like the first 6 months, of them being born. And last night was brutal, by the way. Just I got no sleep. Caitlin was, I went up there eight times. But particularly in that first 6 months, the babies are trying to figure things out. They'd be trying to sleep, but they'd be crying. So, and I remember this so just so vividly. I'm trying to sleep, look over, and I see Jen. And the room is dark, but there's this light going on over here. And she's combing through her phone. So what would cause Jen to read a book? And it was a book on sleep and sleep habits for babies and signs and things. What would cause her to pore through all those pages at 3 in the morning? What would cause that? It was our children motivating her because she was concerned. She was concerned for their safety, their healthiness, our healthiness to sleep. There was motivation there to actually do something that which most people in their right mind would not be reading a book at 3 in the morning on their phone. Right? Motivation. So what motivates you? What are things that have motivated you over time? And that's what Peter's trying to do. He's trying to motivate you and I. There was ample motivation there for Jen to do that. And so often in our walk with Christ, we lose sight and we lose our focus and we lack motivation to stay on our race, to stay on the race of faith. Isn't that what Jesus warns the church of Laodicea? Yes. Isn't that what he warns them? Right. You are lukewarm. You are lacking motivation. You have all these things and you are just lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. You got to stay motivated. You have to stay focused. And so Peter is telling you, here's the reason why you need to be holy. Here's the motivation to be holy. Point one, God the Father is also God the Judge. Romans 8:15, that's part of the Father. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God, and we cry out, Abba, Father. And God is the Father, and he loves us deeply, and you can't even fathom the depths of his love. It's more than the drops in the ocean, right, Jesse? He is a good, good Father. We sing those things. And he sent his one and only Son for us. However, more so today, and I think it's a result of the apostasy, is we focus on just that one piece. And we seem to forget that God is also the judge, and he is a righteous judge. And there's so many scriptures. If you type in God the judge, I'm just going to give you some of them. God is a judge. He judged the world in the Old Testament, and he flooded the earth because it was wicked. All that he saw was wicked. So many people seem to forget that. And he's going to judge again, and he's not going to do it by water. He's going to do it by fire. Many do not see God the judge, and he is. Psalm 51:1-6, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. And he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me. Those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Right? What does Paul say? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wow, this really goes perfect with what Peter's trying to tell us to do, isn't it? Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Focus, focus, focus. Run your race. Peter's saying it. Paul's saying it. And he knows because he is what is faithful. He kept it. He kept the faith. That's what he said. I kept the faith. There's a crown of righteousness waiting ahead for me. Because I know I will stand before the judge. I know I will stand before the judge. I trusted in Jesus. I kept the faith. You with me? James 4:12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? James 5:9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Listen to this. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. He might even have the scroll in his hand right now. You know what I'm talking about? He might just have the scroll in his hand right now. And then what happens? Seals. Boom. 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 It's time, son. It's time, son. Psalm 96:13, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. And he shall judge the world. Listen to this. He shall judge the world with righteousness. You see, people are going to be judged according to their works that are not in Christ. And the peoples with his truth, he's judging them by their faithfulness. It's right there. Read it. Psalm 96:13. Talking about Jesus. Revelation 20. 11 through 15, and I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, the book of life. That just confirms, wide is the way to destruction, and narrow is the way to the Lord. Why would there be books and then just one book of life? And the dead were judged, here it is, according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up to the dead who were in it, let's see, and who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So many people miss that point. God is love. And they just think like, you know, I'm a good person. God would, I'm a good person. He wouldn't throw me in hell. No, he is just. He is a just judge. He's a just judge. If you are standing before a judge and you had hit someone and killed somebody with your car, and you are standing before the judge, do you think your argument would be, but I did all these good things beforehand. I've given to charity. I drove perfect all the way up to this point. I'm a good father. I raised my family. I went to school. I taught others. What is the judge going to say? Guilty. Didn't matter what you did beforehand, you are guilty. Oh, but us in Jesus. When we stand before the judge, Jesus says, covered. 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 I don't see anything. Covered. Motivation to stay holy. God is the judge. Number two, motivation to stay holy. Holy. The life we live now is temporary. Again, he says, pilgrims here, strangers here, and here it comes. Listen, he says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. He's talking about just a stay. This isn't your permanent home. This is not your permanent home. James 4:14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is temporary. That should be motivation itself to be holy. Amen. I was talking to a woman in my office on Friday, and she told me her brother died at 45 in May, and suddenly of a heart attack. Unexpected. He was sitting in his chair, and wham, massive heart attack. Dead at the age of 45. We don't know. God has an appointed time for each and every one of us. And it was an awesome time where I got to share with this person. She's going through a divorce, and she saw my screensaver. She saw my screensaver, which is a picture of an old rugged cross, and burned in it, in the middle of it, says love. And then burned all around it says sin and fear and and all these different things that are just blown there because it was paid for by the cross. And she saw that, and I got an opportunity to minister to her and love her. It doesn't take much to be an example. You don't have to go out of your way and just hit people over the head and be like, wham! John 3:16! No! Love people. And there's going to be opportunity if you listen to the Holy Spirit to share. I ain't cram anything down our throat. But be bold enough to share when those opportunities come. The Holy Spirit resides in you, are you not? Does not the Holy Spirit reside in you? I heard you all say it last week. And so he leads you and he says, say this. He will tell you what to say when you need it. And you are seeking him and you are in an attitude of prayer. How can I be used today, Lord? Right? Do we not pray that now? Katie and I, before our day starts at work, we pray together. Sets the motion in order. Set your day in order. How can I be used, Lord? How can I let my light shine today? How can I let my light shine with my grandkids? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Sometimes you think, is this the devil? Are these? Yeah. We are pilgrims. We are pilgrims. Say, we are pilgrims. John 17:12-8. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. This is Jesus. This is Jesus saying, he's talking about you and I. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. Remember? What did Peter say? You are kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. That joy inexpressible, right? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So Jesus is saying, like, you are going to be in this world. Peter says, while your stay is here. And Jesus is saying, keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the evil one. Help them to run their race. Lift them up on wings like eagles. Not so they can have their best life now, but that I might be glorified and I might be exalted in them. Man, this is good preaching. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Amen. What is truth? His word is truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me in the world, I also have sent them into the world. We are in the world. We are in the world. People are watching you right now. The trials you are going through. Both of you. You are one. They are watching you. There is a testimony to be had. You keep pointing to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 11:13-16. These all died in faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They saw afar off the promise. We look back and see the promise that was fulfilled, and we stand on that. They didn't even have Jesus yet. They just knew, like, Messiah is going to come someday, and I recognize that I'm not a citizen of this world. I have a citizenship elsewhere. For those who say such things declare plainly, not like secretly, they declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. There's your inheritance. Amen. With your name on it. Amen. We are strangers. And that fear that he's talking about, it's a reverential fear that we have to give an account. We have to give an account of what we did in our life. Romans 14, 9-13, for to this end Christ died and arose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. How can you not be a stumbling block? Be holy. Be holy. 1 Corinthians 3, 11-16. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, all things of the world, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work and of what sort it is. Was it heavenly? Did it have eternal significance? Or was it selfish, earthly pursuits? If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I think that has something to do with the hierarchy that might be in heaven. We all have, you're not going to be just sitting around like cartoons and all the things display. You're not just sitting on clouds playing harps in heaven. The creator of the universe created the heavens and the earth. I'm pretty sure he will keep you busy for eternity. He spoke it into existence from nothing. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You all affirmed it last week. If you affirmed it, you now know it. You're accountable to it. Oh, gotcha. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You be holy, for your God is holy. Amen. You cannot fool God. Right. You can fool others. You cannot fool God. Were your works in Christ or were your works in self? Remember, the refiner's fire purifies your faith. And when the fire tests your works, only those works in pure faith remain. Now to something lighter. Point number 3. You are redeemed. I'm going to ask you again. I gave you an acronym. What was the acronym a couple weeks ago about spending time with the Lord? TOR, right? Time, obey, and remember. Remember what he did for you and I. Remember, you are redeemed. What does the scripture say in 1 Peter? It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. When I was putting this part of the sermon together yesterday, I was thinking about I thought about the cross, and I thought about Jesus giving his life for me. And I was moved, and tears started to well up inside me. You see, nothing this world has to offer, nothing this world has to offer can redeem you from the emptiness of this life. You see, you can have it all. Just like look at Hollywood, okay? You can have the dream job. You can have the dream family. You can have all the wealth and all the power. We store and build up all that we can in this life, and we build new barns, traditions of our fathers, right? The traditions that are passed down from the world on and on to us. Get your best life now. Get yours. You're a self-made man. Make yours. Get yours. Can you hear the deception in it? I remember when I first started off in business, and I remember looking at it, I'm like, if I could just have this much money in the bank, and if I could just make this much money, then I'll be set. And I achieved that goal, and I achieved it early by God's blessings, but then I look at it and go like, there was that desire to, nope, that's not enough now. It's not enough. Next level. And at the end of the day, you look at it and you see how empty it truly is. Think about Job. This is not in my notes. Job had it all. He was a blessed man. He was a blessed man. Had his faith been in something other than in God, when all was stripped away, which things of the world do, they get stripped away. It can all come crashing down. It's called a house of cards. 1920s, the Great Depression. Is it Black Monday? Black Tuesday, thank you. There's so many different days of shopping now, I don't remember. They had all the wealth and all the power. But then all of a sudden, one single day was catastrophe. And they ended, many people ended their lives. They walked out the windows, jumping from heights to kill themselves, shooting themselves in the head because they lost it all. Their faith was in what their own works were. You see, so we store and we build up all that we can in this life. We build new barns, traditions of our fathers. The world constantly barrages our mind with these thoughts. And Jesus says, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things in which you have provided?" That's the parable of the man who had the barns and he built bigger. Yep. I've had all this, but I'm just going to do more. You see, you are redeemed, which implies that you were purchased. So we are all slaves. Do you know that? We are all slaves. We are either slaves to sin, which is our natural human, carnal, fleshly state, or we are slaves to Christ. Amen. We are slaves to sin, or we are slaves to the obedience of truth. Okay? Redeemed. Redeemed is laton, literally the ransom money price to free a slave. This occurs twice in Matthew 10:28 and Mark 10:45, both times referring to this purchase, the ransom price which Christ paid. And it's a derivative of laitu, which is properly to release or set free by paying the full ransom. To release on receipt of ransom, figuratively. Listen to this. Redeemed. To restore something back into the possession of its rightful owner. Amen. Rescuing from the power and the possession of an alien possessor. You were created in the image of God. You were created to live forever. Originally, Adam was, until he sinned. And then an alien possessor, Satan, now had dominion over this earth. Right. Do you guys remember the story of Hosea and Gomer?
Oh, yes.
Hosea, the auction block, purchasing Gomer, that which was rightfully his, purchased her back. Jesus purchased us with his blood, tetelestai, paid in full. The rightful owner, the creator of the heaven and earth. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. This is just affirmation of what you are. You're either a slave to sin or you are a slave to Christ. Romans 6:17-18 and 20-23, but God be thanked that through you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. The obedience of truth. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free, verse 22, from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. There it is. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which leads me to my next point. This is not next point, but next piece of this. 1 Corinthians 7:22. You have to read in the English Standard Version. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. Brother Ed has made notice of this before, but a bondservant is a slave. The word comes from the Greek derivative doulos, which means one who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of his master, a slave. Often used as slave or servant. In Roman times, the term bondslave or slave could refer to someone who voluntarily served others, but it usually referred to one who was held in permanent position of servitude. Under Roman law, a bondservant was considered the owner's personal property. Slaves essentially had no rights and could even be killed with impunity by their owners. The Hebrew word for bondservant, ebed, had a similar connotation. The Mosaic law allowed an indentured servant to become a bondservant voluntarily. If the servant declares, listen, I love my master and my wife and children, and I do not want to go free. Amen. Then his master must take him before the judges. The judge. He will take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. And then he will be his servant for life. It's Amen. Referenced in Exodus 21, verses 5 through 6. Why do you love your master? Is my question to you. Why do you love Jesus? Because he was foreordained before the foundation of the earth to be our substitute, to be our atonement. He was pierced for you and I because he loved you and I first. Because he was pierced, he now asks you to be pierced and become a bondservant for him forever. That's right. To live for him forever. That's right. Live with him forever. Amen. Because you love him. That's what Peter was telling you. You don't see him, but you love him.
Amen.
He was pierced for you. You are covered by his blood. He purchased you at the auction block. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're a slave to Jesus. You are free in that. That's what a bondservant felt. I love my master so much that even though I am his, I am free within him.
Amen. Preach it.
Colossians 1:13-23. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him reconcile all things to himself by him, whether the things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, he says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. He purchased you. He purchased you. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you what? Present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. When you stand before the judge, you are proclaimed holy and blameless.
Amen.
And above his sight, I see no sin.
Hallelujah.
You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He purchased you at the auction block. You have to. That's why we remember him.
Amen.
That should be motivation to stay holy, to pursue holiness. And I'm spitting all over my stuff here. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And then there's a little caveat here. If indeed you continue in the faith.
That's right.
And what does he say after that? Grounded. And here's the word. And steadfast. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to you to every creature under heaven. No matter what the world tells you, you are not your own. You are not your own. And I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were brought at a price. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns you now. Glorify him in all that you do in your actual pursuit of holiness. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, your word is so deep. It is just amazing how it comes alive. Father, be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord, that we would build one another up, build this church up, Lord.
Yes.
By the power of your Holy Spirit, flow through us, Lord, that we would be living epistles, that we would bring glory to you, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of the truth, that we would not be ashamed to share with others, Lord. Let our light shine. Give us opportunities. Give us opportunities to share your love that you have purchased us at the auction block, and that others could have the same, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.